whereby the buyer starts to respect you for not chasing down every bone or objection they throw at you. How do you think people get over a budget, folks? Look, they do it anyway. How do you think the whole government of the United States is in a deficit? Because they bought the project anyway, because we went to war anyway, because we borrowed more money anyway, because we gave money to countries that couldn't pay us back. So what's the close? Do it anyway, close. It's what, you know, 99% of the population on planet Earth and certainly in the United States does every day to get over budget. Do it anyway, close. It goes like this. Hey, I understand it's more money than you wanted to spend. I understand the payments are too high. I understand the price is higher than you wanted. I understand all that. I understand it's more money than you budgeted. Do it anyway. You want to shut up right there, and you want to pass the pen and go for the close. Look, if you don't use that close, the buyer is going to use it on themselves. I've actually had clients sit down in my office with me. I make a presentation to them. I'm selling them a big piece of equipment for their company. And the husband looks at the wife, and the wife looks at the husband. We can't afford this. And the wife tells the husband, hey, let's do it anyway. We need to do it. Boom. I'm like, hey, that's a great close. I need to start using that myself. Disease close. I know you're thinking, disease close, come on, man, that's not even right. You're bringing disease into it? That's right. You know why? Because I'm committed to my product, I'm committed to my service, I'm committed to the close. So this is a money or price objection, payments, budget, whatever. You could use it on any of these scenarios. Disease close. I know it's more than you need, and I know it's more than you want to spend. But look, it's not a disease. It's not like you'll die from it. Let's do this. Sign here and here. Pass the pen and close. Here's the pitch. I know it's more than you need. And frankly, I know it's more than you wanted to spend. But sir, it's not a disease. It's not like you're going to die from it. Let's do this. Sign here, please. Where did you get the audacity to possibly say these kind of things you might be asking? Well, this is the fact. Don't make a bigger deal of objections than they are. Close on the objections. You'll find these are very, very successful ways, and you will later wonder, hey, why wasn't I using this? Oh, I forgot. You were selling back then, and now you're closing. You understand? See, now we're moving you back into a closing position. So when the buyer says to you, or the person, or the board, or whoever you're talking to, man, this is just a lot of money. This is more than we want to spend. I know it's more than you need. I know it's more than you wanted to spend. I know that you're actually making a decision before you planned on it. But it's not a disease. It's not like you're going to die from it. Let's do this. Now, this close is very, very powerful if you just trust yourself with it. How many times have you known a family member that got sick or got a disease or had a problem and they're like, God, you know what? Nothing really matters anymore because now I got cancer or I got this problem. So that's what you want to leverage on right now, okay? The fact that, look, this is not a big deal. It's money. It's a decision. These decisions are nothing compared to terminal illnesses, okay? Disease close. How does it go? I know it's more than you need and I know it's more than you wanted to spend. But look, it's not a disease. It's not like you'll die from it. Let's do this. Stay uptoned, stay agreeable, stay positive. This close is great. And I won't say it's sick because this is the disease close. Do it for me close. Sir, if you can't do it for you and you can't do it for your wife, then I'm going to ask you to do it for me. I need your okay here and here. You get it? You're like, oh, no way, man. Come on, you can't even do that. Yes, I do. Most people want to help others. Most people want to help you, particularly if you're a likable person. Now you need to really leverage the likability. You need to ask for help, ask for assistance, and ask them to do it for you. This isn't as crazy as you might think. Do it, and I will prove you wrong. Try this close on your next 5 or 10 customers. When you're in the close and they're like, oh no, I can't do it. This works perfect after the last one I just gave you. Do it anyway. I can't do it. We can't do it. It's too much money. We can't do it. Hey, sir, if you can't do it for you and you can't do it for your wife and you can't do it for your family, hey, do it for me. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for me. Now I need your okay here and here. The guy's going to look at you and start laughing. You got to be kidding, man. Before I do it for you, I'm going to do it for me and the wife. Great, sir. Sign right here. You get it? Great close. Use it with courage. Do it for me close. How does it go? Sir, if you can't do it for you and you can't do it for your wife, do it for me. I need you okay here and here. Let's roll. Inventory close. Move down a model. So you're getting some kind of price objection in the close. You want to move the buyer down a model and ask this as a solution. Would you consider the product right under this package, let's say? Let's say there's a A, B, C, D level. Would you consider going from a B to a C? You wouldn't say it like that. You'd say, would you consider the product right under this? This would save you $500, $1,000, maybe $1,500. It would reduce the payments by $12 to $30 per month. Or would you rather get exactly what you want and pay a little more? See, this is done either at the presentation of product. You could do that before you actually present the product to be sure you're on the right product. It could be done right at the write-up to determine if you're on the right product to test as a trial close that you're on the right consideration here. Or you could do this in negotiations when you get some kind of objection to money. And it goes like this. Would you consider the product right under this? Don't just ask a question and not continue. You want to ask the question and continue on. Would you consider the product right underneath this? That would save you $500, $1,000, $1,500 and reduce your payments $12 to $30 a month. Or would you rather get exactly what you want and pay a little more? Okay? So you should always use inventory as a way to solve problems. Always use inventory to negotiate. Don't use money, as this is a much more value-added solution and a much better way to negotiate than just reducing price. Reducing price passes on no value. It also gives your buyer or prospect choices and allows them to save face if he is not able to actually afford the product. It also builds value in the product they finally decide on. So how does it go? Would you consider the product right under this? Rhetorical question requires no answer. That would save you $500, $1,000, $1,500 and reduce your payments $12 to $30 a month. Or, hey, would you guys rather get exactly what you want and pay a little more? Inventory, close, move up a model. Before I write this up, I want to share with you that if we move up from the 4 gig to the 8 gig, or whatever the package is, from this package to that package, we actually move up, it would only be an added cost of X dollars. And with the payment programs, it would only change your payments by a little bit per month. Would you guys consider that? Now, this could, again, be used in the demonstration of product. It could be used at the write-up. It could be used in the negotiations to actually handle the price and the terms. Now, you're saying, Grant, you got an objection over price or terms. Why would you move somebody up a package? One of the great misnomers of salespeople, closers, and negotiators is they always want to move down a package, which is incorrect. I would actually choose to move people up a package as a way to build value before I move them down a package. I've talked about this in Sell to Survive as being a critical way to negotiate. This move up a model, let's say I'm on a $140,000 machinery purchase, okay? And I get, man, that's a lot of money. Let me ask you something. I know you guys are just, you know, looking at all the possibilities today. Is there any chance you'd consider moving up one package? We move up one package with the kind of financing agreements we have in place right now and the lease agreements we have in place right now. We can move up. It's only another $70,000. We move from 140 to 210, but it would only change your payments by about $345 a month. Would you guys consider that? And they'll be like, well, tell me what's on that package. You see, now you don't have a price objection. You have an inventory objection. Or he says this, didn't you just hear me? I just said it's too much money. I can't go up more money. Well, now what does that do to you? If he says, no, I can't go up, it makes your 140 look good. See, you're actually moving him up to something he won't take as a way to justify what he needs. This is a great close. It is very, very valuable. You're going to use it in many, many situations. Anytime a customer says it's too much, they're saying too much what? Too much money or too much for that product? Too much money, period, or too much for what you're offering me, and bringing them up a package helps. Others will think you're crazy. But then the buyer sees that the choice is to spend more money, not less, and the move up may actually validate the product and the price you're on. Great close. Inventory, close, move up a model. So what are you going to say? Before I write this up, I want to share with you. If we move from this package to this package, it would only be an added cost of X. And with the payment programs and the lease programs in place, it would only change your payments a little bit. Would you consider that? Selection alternative close. If the payments are too high, I suggest we go back and consider the model earlier. It won't have the memory that you requested. It won't have all the package and ingredients and things that you said were important, but it would put you in a position to get what you want and you could later upgrade. These inventory and alternative close offers solutions to buyers and makes you look like someone who is trying, someone who is professional and has solutions. See, all buyers should be moved up and down the inventory line by you. as they will anyway when they leave you. You understand? If you don't move people up, up and down in the package line, when they leave you, what are they going to shop? They're going to shop other alternatives. So you want to take advantage. Use your inventory. Quit using your money. It's easier to sell inventory than it is to sell price. This is how people make decisions. They shop, they compare, they evaluate. You know, they do comparables. They're like, okay, this is 210, this is 175, this is 140. Where do I need to be? What can I afford? Where's the real value? The truth is most people buy more than they need, not less than they need. And who's happiest? The people that are the happiest, they move all the way up to the package they can't afford. So you're using logic in the clothes here. You're not using emotion. When you use inventory, you're using logic. You're using alternatives to justify and satisfy customers' thinking. This will help you close many more deals. Selection, alternative, close. Okay, look, if the payments are too high or the price is too high, I suggest we go back. We consider the other model that I talked about earlier. Hey, look, it won't have this, this, and this that you requested, but it would put you in a position to get what you want, and then you can upgrade later. Package, alternative, close. Okay, this is the package, alternative, close. We're going to be moving on different packages. If you don't want to go down a model and you won't consider something 1 year older, why don't we consider moving down just a package? You would only have to give up these two options, but it would save you X and reduce your long-term commitment by the month by this much per month. This is called package, alternative, close. See, you always want to show the buyer a way to get what he wants. Always show a solution. Always offer a way out. Always offer a way to satisfy what they want. You may be on the right product right now, but you might be on just a package too much of that right product. It's very similar to earlier closes where we are using models and inventory, but now we're just using the package. Also, this gives the buyer a way to buy something, and it gives them a way out in case they truly can't afford it. So, how do you say it? Package, alternative, close. If you don't want to go down a model and won't consider something a little older, why don't we do this? Why don't we move down just one package? You would only be giving up these two options. It would save you X, reduce your payments by, and you could come back and add these items later if you chose to. This is called payment breakdown close. Now, you want to refer to this close and all the closes in the book. You want to refer to those during the day so you have these to use when you're closing people, because you're obviously not going to go to the audio program and listen to it in the middle of a close. So you want to have these so you can look at them, particularly this close because it has a lot of numbers involved. Payments, breakdown, close. This is when you get the payments are too high as an objection. I have to be under whatever, $500 a month. And then you're going to say, using logic, John, we're already less than $500 a month that you want to pay. See, the package you're buying here before any options is $20,000, and that results in a $400 payment. The GPS system that we added to this is $3,000, and that's $60 a month. The sunroof you added to the car is $1,000, and that's $20 a month. The leather is $1,800, that's $36 a month. The taxes are $3,000, that's $60 a month. When you add all this up, it's $576 a month. You want it to be at $500. We're at $400 for the car, $60 for the GPS, $20 for the sunroof, $36 for the leather, $60 for the taxes. So what are you doing here? You're showing the buyer logically that you have satisfied their requirement to be under a certain number. This would work on anything, automobiles, equipment purchases. It would work on computers, any kind of software packages, any kind of TVs, appliances, any of that. It would work on contract material. You want to basically break down the payments and justify logically why you're under their target. Now, we have some options. Once you present this, we have some options. A, we remove the extras and the payments are only $400. That's $100 less than you want to be at. Option B, you pay cash for the extras and the payments are only $460. That's the product you wanted plus the taxes. Or C, get the extras, keep your cash, pay the extra $3 a day and get exactly what you want. Now, personally, I would go option number 3 and keep my cash. What do you want to do? Look, again, this close is based on pure logic. It can be used daily on any products. Consumer products would be lethal with this. Anytime you have extras or add-ons or options or packages and you got a payment objection. It's called payment breakdown close. You definitely want to refer to the book when using this one. Budget close number 1. Grant, we're over budget now. I mean, we can't afford this. Sir, everyone who buys here is over budget, but we all still work it out. We have a support group that meets here on Monday nights. Over budget. Monday night meetings. I need your approval here and here. Let's do this. Now, look, it's just a budget, folks, okay? Don't make a big deal about it. Also, remember, no one gets over budget because they don't buy things. They get over budget because they do buy things. Anytime somebody tells you they're over budget, what are you looking at? You're talking to somebody that spends money, and they go over budget. You understand? The budget is not the obstacle. You are. You're buying into the wrong presentation. Grant, we're over budget. Okay, you're over budget. Now, how does anybody get over budget? Oh, yeah, they say yes too often. Now, if I just close them right now, they'd say yes to me. So, close the deal. They came in over budget. Look, they're going to leave over budget. This is America. It's called the budget close number one. Grant, we're over budget now. Please feel sorry for us. Sir, everyone that buys here, everyone that gets this product, everyone, I'm telling you, 99.9% of the people that leave here with our product, okay, are all over budget. And they still work it out. By the way, we have a support group here that meets on Monday nights. We're all over budget. You're certainly welcome to our membership, and you can speak Monday night. I need your approval here and here. Add a little humor. Keep it light. It's no big deal. It's just a budget. Nobody dies about it. You could use the disease clothes with this. So you're over budget. It's not a disease. It's not like you're going to die from it. Okay? You'll find yourself when you get more familiar, you'll start combining these closes. Okay? For instance, budget close number two. And, sir, you can probably say that about your credit cards, your car payments, your insurance, your taxes, your groceries, restaurants, heating bill, Visa, MasterCard, electric bill, your alimony, your child support. I mean, come on. Your house payments, they're all over budget. They're all more than you want them to be. But you still do them every month. I need your okay here and here. Let's do this. Discount the objection, right? Grant, man, we can't do this. It's over budget. Discount it. Treat it like a comment or a complaint and close the deal. Okay, so how does it go? And, sir, you probably said that about your credit cards. That's your Visa, your Master, your American Express, your car payments, your truck payment, your insurance, your taxes, your groceries. You eat out at the restaurants, your grocery bill's too high. That said that. Heating bill, your electric bill, alimony, child support. I mean, come on. They're all more than you want them to be, but you still do it. Now, I need you okay here and here. Let's do this. Learn these closes, folks. You're going to hear companies, individuals, husbands, wives, kids. Everybody's going to say what? I'm over budget. Budget close number three. I understand and expect that this decision will have plenty of company at home, and it won't be by itself. What do you mean by that, the buyer says? Sir, you said it's over budget, right? I showed you the payments. The payments are $1,200 a month. You're like, man, Grant, we're over budget. I understand, and I would expect that this decision will have plenty of company at home and won't be all by itself. What I mean is this won't be the first purchase that you make that's too much and over your budget. I need your okay here and here. Let's do this. You will have customers cracking up over this response. The truth is so powerful, people actually, like, get relieved on it. See, all people extend themselves for things they really want. You got banks going out of business in this country that extended themselves too much. You got professional investment companies, entire companies, going out of business or on the fringe of going out of business because they don't know when to say no. Budget close number three. I understand, and I would expect that this decision will have plenty of other company and won't be by itself. That is, the payments won't be by itself, or the price won't be by itself. What do you mean by that? This will not be the first purchase or the last that you make that is too much and would be over your budget. I need you okay here and here. Let's do this. Budget close number four. So assuming you got an objection to payment or price. So assuming, but they're telling you it's over our budget. So assuming your house note, your present car note, your insurance, your utilities, gas, electric, water, cable, groceries, medical, clothes, babysitter, school, entertainment, movies, restaurants, Visa, MasterCard, your alimony, your child support, your retirement contributions, the health club you belong to, and assuming you continue to save money every month and still have room left over in your monthly budget to enjoy your new purchase, you'd have no other reservations, correct? Great. Let's go through the list. This is budget close number four. It's when the buyer says this is over budget. You're going to basically, and you need to know these so you can just pitch like I did. House note, present car note, car insurance, utilities, gas, electric, water, life insurance, groceries, medical, clothes, babysitter, school, entertainment, movies, restaurant. You need to pitch this. Know your budget and know their budget so you can go through the whole list of possibilities. You could already have a budget made out fill in the spots because you're going to ask. Certainly, if you have no other reservations and we still have room for you to afford this, you would do this. Is that right?
Great.
Good. Start at the top. What's your house payment? Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Be a professional. If you have to give financial guidance as to how they can do this, and you have to be the financial planner that can show them there's room, that's what it takes to close the deal, you need to become a financial planner. And for those of you who say, man, I'm getting too nosy by asking somebody their house payment, what you need to be saying is, I don't care enough to close. Learn these closes, folks, so you can have whatever you want in your life and you and your family aren't going over budget. Budget close number 5. Now, I've given you 5 of these budget closes, so what do you think? You think that's important? Sure, if I got 5 of them, that means you're going to be hitting it all the time. Budget close number 5. 90% of the people I work with are over budget when they arrive here. Just because you may have made some decisions in the past that didn't make sense or made some purchases that you really didn't need should not mean that you would penalize yourself today from getting those things that do make sense and that you do need. Let's do this. Now, the U.S. government is trillions of dollars in debt, but it doesn't mean that it quits operating. I'm talking to you now, okay? I'm out of the close. This close is a way to acknowledge that being over budget is not actually a big deal. Don't let the budget be the barrier. Don't let their budget be your excuse not to close. They were over budget before they got here, before they met you. And they will be over budget regardless of what they do today. Don't let the buyer penalize themselves. If you have something they want and they want something you have, just tell them. Budget close number 5. 90% of the people I work with, 90% of the people that come here, 90% of the people that consider this product are over budget when they arrive here. Just because you have made some decisions in the past that didn't make sense, or maybe you purchased something that you didn't really need, shouldn't mean that you penalize yourself today from getting the things that do make sense and that you do need. Hey, let's do this. You want to use empathy, understanding, express, you know, that you've made mistakes before and that they have, and you want to basically separate the last purchase or many purchases and the many mistakes and the bad decisions from this one. Okay, you got it? Budget close number 5. 90% of the people I work with are over budget when they arrive here. Just because you made some bad decisions in the past, possibly decisions that didn't make sense, and you purchased things that you didn't really need, shouldn't mean you penalize yourself today from getting the things that do make sense and that you do need. Let's do this. Assume zero balance close. This close is going to be used anytime there's debt being carried on equipment that's being traded, a lease contract that's being, you know, rolled over, a car that's being traded in, a boat that's being gotten rid of. Anytime there's some type of trade in place or some kind of consideration from some earlier purchase involved. So it goes like this. Assume a zero balance. Your payoff has nothing to do with the value of your lease, your car, your boat, or whatever it is you're talking about. For instance, if you owed zero on that product, would you want zero? Of course not. It is worth what it's worth, and it's not going to get any better by waiting. Pay the difference between what it's worth and what you owe, and let's get you in the product you want. Sign here and here. Now you're saying, okay, where am I going to use this? I'm selling a house. Okay, the guy's got to sell his house. He's going to buy a new house for me. I got him in the new house. He loves it. But he can't sell his old house because he owes too much money on it. That's going on all across America. There's over almost 3 million homes that could go into foreclosure this year in this country. So if you're a real estate agent, your sale of the new house is being hung up in the sale of the old house. So there's a short sale because he owes $800 and the house is only worth $6. Okay? So he's going to say, man, I can't get enough for my house to sell. Your house. Your house's value has nothing to do with what you owe on your house. The payoff you owe the bank has nothing to do with the value of that house or the car, the boat, the lease, whatever. If you owed zero, what would you want? Oh, man, if I owed zero, I'd take $600. Exactly. See, it's worth what it's worth, and it's not going to get better by waiting. Let's do this. Let's pay off the difference, and let's get you in the house you want. Sign here and here. I'll work it out. Leave it up to me. Again, this is used when your buyer is involved with a situation where the person or company owes more on the present purchase or old purchase than the value of the asset is actually worth today, and they're trying to get rid of that. This stops many salespeople due to them being focused on the problem, not the solution. You need to become solution-oriented. Closers are solution-oriented, not problem-oriented. You want problems, folks. Because by solving problems, number one, you get paid money. Number two, when there's problems, you have less competition because nobody else knows how to solve them. Solve the problem, and you close the sale. This is great for bankers, auto dealers, furniture sellers, equipment leases, mortgage brokers, and certainly good for real estate people. Payoff close. John agrees to purchase now, assuming we pay off the balance owed on his present lease or mortgage using the company's rebates and discounts, or by getting the lender to carry the difference over. John's funds, whatever he's putting down, will be used to reduce the amount financed on the new purchase. Now this, again, while it might sound complicated when you're listening to it, go back and look at your book. This is great for products where equipment is being traded for a new purchase, and or the sale is being held up due to the balance on an earlier purchase. Can also be used when the buyer has a contract or lease on some other product or service. Trillions of dollars in sales are lost annually because of your lack of responsibility to take responsibility for earlier purchases that don't appear to have anything to do with the new purchase, but they do, because if you can't solve the old problem, something that happened earlier, you can't get the new deal. So this is called a payoff close. This is when he's saying, hey, you're not giving me enough for my blah, blah, or whatever, or I'm not getting out of it. It's a problem. You want to shift the attention off of that because you can't solve that problem. It is what it is. And say, look, John, would you agree to purchase now, assuming we pay the balance off, owed on the present mortgage, and we are able to use whatever rebates we have available, whatever discounts I can get from the seller, or by getting the lender to carry the difference. So notice I've covered myself. I'm saying I'll pay it off by getting what? Company rebates, discounts, or I get the lender to carry the difference. So even if I can't pay it down, I can't add money to the product, I could get the lender to carry the difference and I'd be all right. John's funds will then be used to reduce the amount financed on the new purchase. Great close. Learn it and refer to it in the book. Delay payment close. John will own now, assuming we pay off his credit card, save him from making his current payment, and set it up to where he doesn't have any payments this month, next month, not until the following month. How does that work for you? This is for those of you who are involved with the financing on a product sale and can get creative, not with how the sale is made, but how the individual or company makes payments. Let's say a guy's moving in now, saving a month rent. He'd have no payments this month and none next month. So rather than discounting the price of the house, let's say you're selling a house, you could include one payment. Rather than discounting price, you could get your seller to say, look, let's carry the guy's payment this month, next month, and the third month, if that's what it takes. If his problem is time, buy time. You ever heard this? Time is money. Build the savings or the solution for the buyer without giving up the price. You don't want to discount price. There's no value, particularly in this case where he can't make a decision today. Grant, I need 3 months. You know, I got this situation. I got that situation. Things are coming at me. Good. Let me make this suggestion. John, you'll own now, assuming we pay off your credit card. That's a problem. We save you from making any current payment that's due right now. We set up to where you don't have any payments this month on the new house. You don't have any payments next month and not until the following month. How does that work for you? Okay, what are you saying? You pay off all my credit cards, owe $25,000 there. You're going to make this payment on my lease this month. Okay, that's $4,000. You're going to make this month's payment on the house I move in right away, and next month. Okay, that's another $10,000. Okay, boom. Yeah, that would work for me. Good. You see, you're building savings for the buyer without giving up the price and devaluing the price of the product being sold, and you'll ultimately give up less. Most salespeople don't get creative enough by becoming responsible for all the parts of the sale, including the financing, including the price, and including any problems the buyer is having. Most buyers are more worried about their monthly payment. I think you would agree. Most companies are worried about their cash flow than they're actually worried about the price. This is called delay payment close, and it goes like this. John will own now, assuming we pay off this debt, we save him from making his current payment, we set him up to where he doesn't have any payments this month, none next month, none till the following 3 months from now. How does that work for you? Great close. Momentum close. Okay, I've put all the numbers together for you, and this is what we can do for you. Disclose the figures. I need your approval here and here. What you want to do here is present the figures, go over them, ask for the approval, hand the pen to the buyer, and shut up. Great on shoppers, tough buyers, and people who may be comparing your pricing to something else that they have gotten earlier from someone else. You want to be confident, in control, professional, and look the buyer in the eyes. This close is called the momentum close because it doesn't open the door to be retraded. I put all the numbers together, John. We've done everything we can for you. This is what we can do. We have no more room. I need your approval here and here. Shut up. Pass the pen. Close the deal. Momentum close. How does it go? Look, I put all our numbers together. Here's our complete proposal. This is what we can do. Disclose the figures. I need your approval here and here. Now, this next close I'm going to give you, I've gotten a lot of flack about. Because people take this close out of context and then start thinking that I'm doing something or saying something that's somehow sacrilegious. It's called the pray about it close. I need to pray about it close. Now, I am a religious person. I consider myself a spiritual person. I would never, ever offend anybody's religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs. And I certainly would support anyone and believe in whatever they believe. But this is for the customer or the individual that two situations here. One, that genuinely needs to pray about decisions before they make decisions. And number two, uses prayer as a way not to make a decision. So this is called I Need to Pray About It Close. And again, it's used with complete respect to people's belief and their religion. I need to pray about this, Grant. And sir, I appreciate that. And I pray about every decision in my own life. Every morning I pray myself. How are you most comfortable praying? On your knees, standing up, sitting down? How are you most comfortable? Good. Let's pray together. I trust God won't mislead either of us. I am willing to accept God's will for the both of us. Now, again, you want to honor the buyer's belief and be with him or her while he makes contact with who he or she prays to. While some may think this is taboo, a taboo, not breachable area, you shouldn't go there, I disagree. See, the buyer brought God into this conversation. I didn't. And you should pay them the respect, I believe. You should pay them the respect of being willing to honor their beliefs and pray with them until you get a yes or a no. Again, my sincerity is genuine. I respect the buyer's religion. I respect the buyer's desire to pray about it, and I would respect whatever answer we get. So if you are religious or even not religious, the fact that your customer said, I need to think about it, what are you going to be like? Okay, I can't handle that. I can't breach that. Payments are too high. I can't handle that. Grant, I need to pray about it. Okay, great, sir. And I appreciate that. And the truth is, sir, I pray about every decision I make in my own life. Now, if you don't pray every day, maybe you can't say that, but you could say what? And I appreciate that. How are you most comfortable praying? Let's pray together. I trust God won't mislead either of us. I am willing to accept God's will for both of us. You got to be bold, folks, to use some of these closes. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be bold and use them than be broke because I don't use them. And if you're genuine, if you're interested, and if you're willing to do whatever it takes to sell your product, to sell your service, to sell your ideas, if you really, really believe in what you're doing, if you believe you make a difference, if you believe your company will really, truly take care of people, none of these closes should be a problem for you. You just need to look at whether you're sold on your product and your service enough. Think about it close, number one, and there's many of these. It's called think about it close, number one. Grant, I need to think about it. Sir, thought is instantaneous. Think of an elephant. Did you get the picture? Good. Think about your house burning down. Did you get the picture? Good. You see, thought is immediate. It's instantaneous. What you need to do now is make a decision. It's not think time now. It's yes or no time. It's do or don't do time. I'm fine with either one. Which one is it? Now, this is a very strong close. I never believe that people need to think, as this is a stall. It's a stall mechanism for some other consideration that hasn't possibly been spoken. They're more likely to need more information than time to think. Would you agree? This close sets up finding out what's really wrong, what's out, or what they're really thinking about. So when I'm in the close and somebody says, Grant, I need to think about it. Sir, thought takes that long. That's how fast you need to respond to this. This doesn't need to be, I need to think about it. Okay, what do I do? I got to go. Let me go to what do I say right now? No, you need to be quick right now. Okay, Grant, I need to think about it. Sir, thought takes that long. It's instantaneous. Try that. Thought is instantaneous. Everybody try that. Thought is instantaneous. I want you to think about an elephant. You get it? I want you to think about your house burning down. Do you get it? See, did you get it? You see the picture? You see, sir, thought is immediate, is instantaneous. What you need to do now is make a decision. Yes or no, do or don't do. I'm fine with either one. Which one is it? Grant, you pressure me? That's a different situation, okay? And we'll handle that in a minute. Right now, the guy said, I need to think about it. And you're going to flush the objection, okay? So that's one way to handle I need to think about it. Think about it closed, number two. I understand you need to think about it, sir. However, your thinking about it will not change the fact that this product saves you money, your company needs the product, and you're going to do it sooner or later, no matter how long you think about it. let's get this done so you can think about the other things that need attention. I need your approval here and here. Now, this is another way to handle, I need to think about it, shows understanding, and then you close over this invalid objection or stall. If you think it is reasonable that people add time to decisions, then you need to handle yourself, because when people are sold, they don't think, they buy. When they're fully sold, completely convinced, absolutely certain it's the right thing, they pull triggers. I tell my wife, let's go to dinner. Oh, Grant, I need to think about it. Hey, well, what's the consideration here, man? Okay, that's not, I'm not hungry. It's, Grant, I need to think about it. Baby, thought is instantaneous, okay? Yay or nay, you want to do this or not do it? Hey, don't be pressuring me. Why not? I love you. I want to go to dinner with you, okay? Grant, I need to think about it. I understand. However, you're thinking about it won't change the fact that this product, that I'm hungry, okay? You're thinking about it will not change the fact that this product saves your money, saves your company money, your company needs the product, and look, you're going to do it sooner or later anyway. Let's get it done so you can think about all the other things that need your attention, okay? I need your approval here and here. Let's do this, okay? Think about it. Close number two. You got it? Do you know it already? You're going to have to listen to it again. You need to rewind this. Let me give it to you one more time, okay? Grant, I need to think about it. I understand, sir. However, you're thinking about it will not change the fact that this product saves you money, your company needs the product, and you're going to do it sooner or later. Let's get it done so you can think about all the other things that need your attention. I need your approval here and here. Let's do this. Think about it. Close number three. Grant, I need to think about it. Great, sir. Do you think 2 to 3 days would be long enough? Or would 2 to 3 weeks be better? Buyer will probably say, 2 or 3 days, man. 2 or 3 days is plenty. Good. The truth is, sir, no matter how long you take, whether you take 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, you'll be faced with the same three questions. May I share them with you? Sure. What are they? Number one, does the product get you what you wanted? And write it down. Product. Does it get you what you wanted? Number two, can you afford the product? Okay. Get an answer to number two. Number three, am I the kind of person you want to do business with? If yes to all, point to the signature line. Let's do this. Okay, so this is one of my all-time favorites. While it relieves the sense of having to do something right now, because what did I say? Great. You think 2 to 3 days would be long enough? See, immediately when they said I need to think about it, what did I do? I immediately went to agreement. Hey, man, great idea. Do you think 2 to 3 days would be long enough? How about 2 to 3 weeks? What would be better for you? Oh, Grant, man, 2 to 3 days is plenty of time. The truth is, sir, no matter how long you take, you're going to be faced with three questions. You take 2 days, 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months. You're going to be faced with three questions when you go home. Number one, can I share them with you? Number one, is this the product you want? Write down product. Yes or no? Yeah, Grant, I love the product. Good. Number two, can you afford the product? Yeah, Grant, I can afford it. Number three, am I the person you want to do business with? Yeah, Grant, I like you. Good. I need your signature right here. Let's do this. Or what happens? Three questions you're going to have going through your mind when you leave here, whether you take 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. Okay. Number one, is the product what you want? Grant, that's not what I'm sure. I'm not quite sure. I'm thinking about an X model or whatever down the street. Okay, good. So then you know the product is the problem. See, quit using think about it as a screen for whatever the real objection is. This close, think about it, close number three will get you to the real objection. So how does it go? Grant, I need to think about it. Great, 2 to 3 days be long enough, or you want to take 2 to 3 weeks? Most people are going to take the shorter term. 2 to 3 days, plenty of time. I'll think about it overnight. Hell, I'll call you back this afternoon. The truth is, sir, no matter how long you take, you call me back this afternoon, you call me in 2 days, you call me in 3 weeks, you're going to be faced with three questions. Can I share them with you? Is the product right? Can you afford the product? Am I the person you want to do business with? PPP. Think about it close. Number four. They're saying, I need to think about it. Great. Most people want to take the time to think about their decisions before making the decision. Let me ask you, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being you're absolutely certain and ready to go, and 1 being you wouldn't take it no matter what, where would you stand at this time? On a scale from 1 to 10, where would you be? Get an answer to that question. Well, Grant, I'd be about a 6 on a scale from 1 to 10 if I was going to make a decision right now, 10 being I'm ready to roll. Give myself a 6. Then what would make it a 10? What would I have to do to get you to a 10? This allows you to determine what the real objection is, and trust me, there is one objection, at least one, maybe more. By agreeing with their need to think and then asking where they stand now, if they were going to make a decision, you will get a sense of where this buyer is and the real, possibly unspoken objection or complaint. While it momentarily relieves the buyer's sense of having to do something right now, it positions you to find out what it takes to get the buyer to the point of doing something now. Okay, so remember, how does it go? Think about it. Close number four. Grant, I need to think about it. Great. Most people want to take time to think about their decision before making one. That's the acknowledgement, okay? Great. Most people want to take time to think about it before they make a final decision. Let me ask you a question. On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being you're absolutely certain and ready to roll, and 1 being you wouldn't take it no matter what I offered you, where would you stand at this time? Once you get an answer, grant a 7. Great. What would make it a 10? Well, you'd have to delay payments for 3 months, okay? I can't put any money down, and I need to get this signed without the corporate getting involved. So let's do another one. How about think about it close number 5? I understand. When you say I need to think about it, I understand. And as a consumer myself, I have said the same thing at which time I, A, didn't want to confront the salesperson, B, didn't want to disappoint the salesperson, or C, there was a concern that still hadn't been addressed. Let me ask you something. Which one is it for you? What, Grant? Sir, I understand that you need to think about it. And when I go out and buy something myself, anytime I tell the person I'm buying from that I need some time to think about it, A, I don't want to confront that person. B, I don't want to disappoint them. Or C, there was some concern that I still hadn't addressed. Which one is it for you? And write these down, okay? You're going to take the time to show understanding and empathy and use the agreement. Hey, I agree with you. I do the same thing when I buy something. You're establishing rapport and you're identifying what the real objection is by clarifying that you experienced the same situation and how to resolve it. See, this close will allow you to determine what the real objection is. Is it trust? Is it the product? What is it? Something hasn't been stated. And many times the buyer just can't talk to you anymore. They're not going to tell you what the problem is. To use these type of closes successfully, you have to be convinced there's a deal. Don't give up. Sell them. Don't let them sell you. So he says, Grant, I need to think about it. I understand, sir. You know what? When I go to buy something, when I make a decision like this, when I make an investment, I go through exactly the same thing right at the end. I'm like, I need to think about it. And then I realize, sir, you know, there's always 3 reasons I do that. A, number 1, I didn't want to confront the guy across from me. B, I didn't want to disappoint that person and tell him, hey, look, this is just not whatever. And C, there was some concern that still hadn't been addressed. Which one is it for you, sir? Is it you don't want to confront me and tell me what the deal is? Number 2, you don't want to disappoint me? Or is there some concern? No, Grant, man, I don't mind talking to you. I don't mind confronting you. I'm not worried about disappointing you, Grant. Here's the deal. Okay? My brother-in-law. Whatever. Now they're going to tell you what it is, and then you can handle it. Okay? It's called Think About It Close Number 5, and basically it shows understanding and empathy. Great close. Re-present close, also known as the re-demonstration close. When you're getting an objection, you got some situation you can't handle, you want to think about going back to your product line or your presentation or the benefits. Don't just keep hammering the close away. So watch. I'm getting an objection. Price, payments, terms, conditions, something. Hey, come see. I want to show you how close we are to you making the wisest, most enjoyable, most practical investment of your lifetime. Follow me. Get up, get out of the close, and go back and re-demonstrate the benefits of your product, whatever that product is. This is a great failure of the closer. He gets into closing, but you're not there yet, and forget to go back and sell. Sell your product, sell your services, sell yourself, sell your company, sell the organization, sell all the benefits. This is one of the most effective and least used overlooked closes in the business of selling and negotiating. People are buying a product, folks. They're not buying a price and they're not buying the terms. If they're buying a service, they're buying a service. The fact that they have to pay for it, yeah, that's a given, but they're getting a service. Go back, return to the product, the service, and sell them. Sell the features, sell the benefits of that product and service. Sell the benefits of your company, sell the benefits of you, and come back for the close after you re-present or re-demonstrate your product or your proposal or your service. Be enthusiastic about what you're selling. Let them touch it again. Let them feel it if they can feel it, if it's a consumer product. If it's something that are going to be used or some service they're going to get, man, get in some testimonials, show them some video, show them why people actually keep doing business with you. If it's an intangible, then you need to return to selling them the value of owning this intangible product by writing down what they're going to get from this product. Maybe it's a summary list, okay? It's called the re-present close. Come see or take a look at this. I want to show you how close we are to you making the wisest, most practical, and most enjoyable investment of your life and redemonstrate the benefits of owning this product or service. Apology close. You didn't get the close, and you're going to go use the apology close. I really need to apologize to you for not being able to come to terms with you. Can I ask you, was this something I did? Was this something I failed to do? No, Grant, everything's fine, man. It's nothing you did. It's nothing you failed to do. Well, I got to apologize to you for not being able to come to terms with you. Man, I really tried hard. I know we're on the right product. Can I ask you a question? Was it something I did? No, Grant, it wasn't anything you did. Was it something I failed to do? No, Grant. No, man, you've done a great job. You've been great, Grant. Then allow me to get the product ready for you versus you going home or having to go through this process of looking for another solution. Come on, let's do this. So maybe the buyer's on their way out. Maybe they're at the front door. Maybe they're asking you to leave their house. Maybe you're leaving the house and you're grabbing the doorknob and you turn around and say, I got to tell you guys something. I really need to apologize to you, to both of you, for not being able to come to terms with you. Can I ask you, was this something I did? Was it something I failed to do? No, Grant, you were great. I've never had somebody tell me, yeah, you're an idiot. No, Grant, you're great, Grant. No, that's nothing you did. No, Grant. Then allow me to get the product ready for you. Let's do this versus you taking more time or going home or having to go out and look at this somewhere else and go through this process. Let's do this. You should always first apologize for not closing a deal, as it was your fault. And because you didn't get to close, because you weren't able to handle a customer's desire to get something done, because you missed something, you should apologize. Also, always walk the buyer to wherever they came from. And in the case of you being in a home selling situation, do this when you grab the door, but never let them leave your office alone and never leave their environment without first using the apology. This gives you an opportunity to sell yourself again. Every buyer regrets their decision, and not doing something is a decision. People second guess their decisions. This area of decision making is less secure for people than the entire arena of money. People have made more bad decisions in their life and don't want to make more of them. No decision is a decision. The apology close puts you in a situation to position yourself to close this no decision. So how does it go? The apology close, right? What are you going to do before you leave? So I need to really apologize to you and the wife for not being able to come to terms with you. No, Grant, hey, man, you don't need to apologize. No, really. Can I ask you, was this something I did? No, Grant, you're fine. Was it something I failed to do? No, Grant, everything you did was perfect. Good, then allow me to get the product ready for you versus you having to go back out, look for this, study it, research it. Let's just go ahead and do this. Go for the close. Refuse to believe close. Man, Grant, I just can't do this at this time. Sir, I refuse to believe that you aren't going to do this. Look, it's the right product. The price is great. I know you want it. Let's do this. Turn the contract around and give them the pin. Grant, man, what are you doing, Grant? What are you doing, man? You pressuring this guy? Yes, sir, I am pressuring him right now, okay? I refuse to believe this close. He says, Grant, I can't do this right now. Sir, I refuse to believe that you're not going to do this. It's just not real to me. You got a smile on your face. You got to do this with a smile. All these closes should be done smiling, okay? I refuse to believe that you're not going to do this. It's the right product. The price is great, and I know you want it. Now, let's do this. And you're saying, Grant, man, you're pressuring a guy. No, look, this is called a hard sell. A hard sell means that I care so much. I care so much. I'm willing to confront hard things and emotions in order to get it done. I'm going to stand up to my product. You have to deliver this particular close in a very uptoned, very positive manner. One of complete disbelief. Like, I can't believe this. I refuse to believe you're not going to do this. Let's say I'm raising money for my charity, my church, right? And the guy's like, I can't do any money. What? I refuse to believe you're not going to help us out right now, man. Come on. This is the right time. We need it. You know we need it. We have this opportunity. Come on. Help us out. Turn the contract, pass the pen, and shut up. This is a hard sell. You have to be sold yourself on this being the right decision and press for the right decision. People don't make decisions easily. Know this. They don't make decisions easily because they're insecure about them, so they need help. So how does it go? Refuse to believe. I refuse to believe that you're not going to do this. It's the right product. The price is great. We're the right company. We'll take care of you better than anybody. Look, I know you want it. You're going to do it sooner or later. Let's do it now. Turn the contract, pass the pen. Can't quit close. Grandman, I'm just not going to do anything on this today. There's no way. I mean, no matter what you tell me or what we do or what happens, I just can't make a decision today. Sir, I'm not going to quit on you. You're either going to buy from me now or I'm going to call you every day until you do this. It is the right thing. This is a great deal. I am the right company. I will take better care of you than anyone. I just want you to know up front, right now, I will not quit. Now, I can do it now or I can come back and do it later, but I'm not going to quit on you. Again, you have to deliver this very positive, very uptone, very positive manager and with complete conviction. You are communicating that you know this is the right thing. The fact that they're not sure doesn't mean you need to be sure. This is the right thing. This, again, is a hard sell close. Doesn't mean it's a high pressure close. It means it's hard sell and one that requires you to be completely sold, as all do. You have to be sold yourself on this being the right decision again and press for the right decision. You got to communicate your conviction and they will become convinced. And that is when a close takes place, when your conviction is greater than their conviction and they realize that you have more conviction than they have to know. You have more conviction to yes than they have to know. At that moment, a close will take place. People don't make decisions easily. Help them. So how does it go? I can't quit close. Grant, I can't do it today. Sir, I'm not going to quit on you. You're either going to buy from me now, or I'm going to call you every day until you do this. It's the right thing. It's the right product. It's the right price. It's a great deal, and I'm not going to quit on you. So let's do this. Let's do it now and be done with it. Pass the pen, turn the contract. Three yeses and then close. Now, this is a preparatory of questions that you have to know the answer to that set up a close. Here they go. Did I answer all your questions? You're sitting down, you're writing up the contract, right? Did I answer all your questions? Great. Were we easy to get to? Great. I mean, these are simple, no-brainer questions. Do you like the weather today? Because it's pristine, beautiful outside. I mean, you want a yes. Am I the type of person you feel comfortable serving you? Yes. Good. Then I need you okay here and here. You're basically using minor questions to close. It's called three yeses and then close. Yes is the most powerful word in the entire English language. Get the buyer saying yes. Only ask questions you get a yes to and then ask for the order. You could ask the buying question as the fourth yes, but I would not. Don't ask the buying question as yes or now. Assume the close and ask for a signature. See, I wouldn't ask, you know, did I get all your questions answered? Were we easy to get to? Am I the kind of person you want to do business with? Do you want to buy it? I'd kill the last question and I just pass the contract. I need your okay here and assume the close. Assuming the close, ask for a signature is much more powerful than asking yes or no. The yeses set up the signature. It gets you momentum to the close. Okay, it's three yeses and then close. Come up with your three questions. What are they? Did I answer all your questions? Yes, good. Were we easy to get to? Yes, good. Am I the kind of person you'd feel comfortable doing business with? Yes. Turn and sign. Referral close. This would be done before you actually present numbers. Now, this is a very powerful close. A guy named Carlos Pantera that works with me used this close very, very effective, where we were out selling seminar tickets to businesses, and before he would actually sign the business up for tickets, he would ask, hey, before we get involved with the figures, who do you know that may be in the market for a product of this sort? Somebody progressive like yourself, somebody interested in training, interested in education, who would be interested in a product like this? Okay? And he's like, oh man, I know John, I know Bob, I can help you with a lot of people. See, what you did with this close called the referral close, which most salespeople wait till after the sale, which is incorrect. It's too late. You don't sell most of the people. He would ask, and I would ask, before we get involved with these figures, before I get involved in my presentation, before I show you my proposal, who else do you know that may be in the market that would consider a purchase of this sort? Progressive, if that is the case of what you're selling, who's interested in education, who might consider doing something like this. Maybe somebody you know in the market, somebody you go to meetings with, somebody you have a working relationship. Who do you know, before we get involved with the figures, might be interested in what I'm presenting? Get the referrals before you present the numbers, okay? This provides the buyer with leverage in their own mind that they believe will cause them to get a greater deal. As the buyer believes, the more people they send your way, the more this person would be entitled to in getting or gaining or negotiating a better deal. Now, I think you would agree that a good deal, whatever that is, it's not in a dictionary, a good deal is basically a perception or state of mind. So the fact that this person I'm negotiating with would think that they gave me 5 referrals, they're going to get a better deal, that is a state of mind, a perception. People want to help others. They want to help me as well, okay? If the guy likes me, he'd want to help me. Why wait to get referrals after the close? Let's get them now. And because I'm asking for help and they want to help me, I might actually be adding value to the transaction because he'll actually feel better because he's helped me. So, what is it? The referral close. It's like the insurance close. Hey, who are you going to have your product insured with? I want to go ahead and transfer that before you leave. I haven't even negotiated the numbers yet. Who else do you know that might be interested in equipment like this? I haven't even closed the deal yet. I'm asking for that data before I actually close. Down to the penny close. John, we're within $48.50 of you getting exactly what you want. In comparison to the price and length of time you will own this, $48 is a minuscule amount. Let's do this. This is used when you are at a small price difference. You know, I could take $100,000. Depending on how much time I have on that purchase, I can make sense that that is a small price difference. Let's say the $100,000 is over 30 years or 40 years, okay? How much is that really? Well, that's $2,500 a year, right? Yes, $2,500 a year is $200 a month. Let's see, that's $200, that's $50 a week. Divided by 7, that's $7 a day. Okay? The fact that they keep this machinery on for 10 hours means we're down to what? See, I'm getting down to the penny, right? I'm going to break that $7 a day down divided by 10 hours. So what are we talking about? I don't know. 50 cents an hour? 50 cents an hour, yeah. See, this is used when you're at a small price difference, but small price difference, depending on time, could be $1 million and still be a small price difference. It would be great to keep a jar of money on your desk and show them, or in your pocket, how little money we're really talking about. I could reach in my pocket and say, look, man, I'll give you the $48. We're within $48.50 of you getting exactly what you want. We're within $7 a day. Here, I'll give you the first day. Here's $7. You know, I'll give you the first month. Here's 7 times 30. Here's $210. This works great on monthly payment objections and price objections. Let's say the objection is $300,000. Just work it out. Sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and work out all the different objections. Use time. Reduce it down to the smallest number, down to the penny close. Hey, we're within $48.50. We're within what? $1.50 a day of you getting exactly what you want. In comparison price, in comparison to the length of time you're going to own it, this is a minuscule amount. Let's do this anyway. Reduce to the ridiculous close. Now, this is not my close. This close has been around for at least 2,000 years. Not sure who invented it, but it's been around a long time, and it's a logical close, and it makes sense. And you actually heard me breach into it in the last close down to the penny close. So you're going to take the objection. Let's say it's $1,000, $1,000 a month. Let's say there's a term of $1,000 a month. Hey, that's $30 a day. You're going to live in this home, wake up in your home, go to sleep every day and every night in your home. You'll build a life there. Your family will be safe here for what? $30 a day? It's $30 a day. You spend 10 hours a day in your house. The rest of the time's at work. What are we talking about? 30 cents? Hey, you could divide that by the 4 kids you got and the wife. That's 5 people. Let's see, 5 people divided into 30 cents. Okay, so basically everybody's 6 cents a day in the house per hour, okay? Now, this may seem crazy and like, man, you're carrying this thing to the absurd extremes, the ends of the universe. That's exactly what I want to do with money. Look, money is dead. It's dead. It has no life or value in it. People place so much significance on little bits of money as a way not to make decisions. And you do the same thing when you don't justify for the customer and help them work it out logically. You want to reduce objections to the smallest number possible. The buyer always focuses on big numbers, and they shouldn't. Once a buyer makes a decision, he almost always makes it go right. And when buyers are done buying something from you, they always spend more money afterwards with someone else for something else. So your job is to justify and make sense of the figures so the buyer can say, yes, you want to use reduce to the ridiculous. I want to use it probably every day on every presentation. And how does it go? Let's say we're talking about $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month for a house? What is it? Grandman, we can't afford this. It's an extra $1,000 a month. We can afford 5, but we can't afford 6. Sir, it's $1,000 a month. That's $30 a day. You're going to live in your home, wake up in your home, go to sleep here every day and every night. You'll build a life here, and your family will be saved here for $30 a day. There's you, there's the wife and three kids. That's five at $30 a day. That's $6 per person, okay? You guys live in the house, what? You're here, what, 10, 12 hours a day? It's what, 6 cents an hour or whatever the number is? Come on, let's do this. This is ridiculous. Close the deal. Reduce to the ridiculous. Better to live rich, close. This was taught to me by a gentleman named Juan in Acapulco, Mexico, who was selling me a piece of jewelry, and I have used this close thousands of times to close other people.